Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The views given on the following program are not necessarily the views of the station management or staff. Since individual situations can and will be different, please remember this when exercising any options presented by our guests.
Success is equated with excess. The ambition for excess wrecks us. As the top of the mountain becomes the bottom line, where success is equated with excess.
This is Care for My Wealth. With Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, your fee-only investment firm. Now, here's your Care for My Wealth guide, Chris Klein.
And happy Saturday morning to you. This is Care for My Wealth here, Fox Sports 1070 The Game. Hanging out this Saturday morning, as we do each and every Saturday morning, with Mr. Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. You get to know Chris and the team at Capstone Wealth Management all online. Their website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. ForMyWealth.com. Great website, great resource there. The telephone number, talk to Chris, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. And if you miss that number, I will give it out to you quite a few more times before the end of the program. So don't worry, give you a chance to grab a pen, pencil, or just pick up your phone and get ready to dial that number in. Joining us this morning is Chris Klein. Chris, how you doing this week, my friend?
I'm well. I suppose you're wondering, is the sky really falling?
Well, as I've got the news on here in the studio, I think good. They're definitely saying it is. So you put out an email. I know you regularly keep everybody up to date, and you've been gracious enough to share those with me from time to time. And I put out an email about the producer price index, and that was brought out just yesterday, and talked a little bit about some perspectives and a little bit of market perspectives. What's kind of your take on what we're seeing right now in that narrative about the sky? The sky is falling.
Yeah. So, as you know, and I know anyone that's taken the time to listen in on the show over the last several weeks, is that we've been talking about the high and rising likelihood of a deceleration in the inflationary data, right? And unfortunately, the Federal Reserve is still playing catch up, as is most every single news outlet that's out there. I mean, the primary topic on most everyone's mind, of course, is inflation. Yet the data, and there's, when I say the data, I don't just mean headline CPI, PPI, although that's incredibly valuable. And I'm going to chat on that for just a moment. But the very high frequency type data that makes up all the predictive algorithms that are used to identify whether or not the CPI, PPI starts to either accelerate or decelerate. And why is that important? It's important because the market, the machine, just doesn't care about the number. It just don't. And I know that's so hard for some people to understand because they've been watching Wall Street TV and CNBC and all these operations for so many years, and all they do is talk about what was versus what is. What the market cares about is whether or not there's a rate of change, the speed that number is changing either in an acceleration or in a deceleration format. That's what matters. So when you have a scenario where the high and rising likelihood is that we're experiencing to some extent either disinflation or flat out deflation, and yet at the same time, the Federal Reserve is talking up, you know, 3, maybe 4 interest rate hikes for 2022, the market just reacts to that to scream at the Fed to say, stop it. Stop doing dumb things all the time. And what I mean by that is that the Fed is very high and likely probability that they'll ultimately be raising rates coming into Q2 at exactly the time we're experiencing a rate of change deceleration in growth. In other words, the economy is slowing. Now, I don't care why. We can come up with all sorts of stories about COVID or whatever. I don't care as to what is perhaps causing the economy to slow. That doesn't matter. What matters is that the data is just not going to be a repeat acceleration past what we saw in Q2 of 2021. And that's the key. The numbers are going to be great in terms of you know, relativity, right? I mean, most people would say a 5% GDP print is pretty darn good. Man, look at the growth. Yeah, I get it. You're right. But guess what? That's a massive deceleration from the year over year number prior to that. That's what the market cares about. And so what we're experiencing right now is just simply a shift in terms of how the market will start viewing movements in the high frequency data points. And so on Thursday, we got the PPI data. PPI, for anyone listening that's never seen it before, is producer price index. Producer price index is the it's the cost of the stuff that goes into making the stuff that you want to buy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy. But that's what causes the producers to either have to spend more or less on whatever it is that they're dealing with. Up to this point, they've been having to spend a lot because we've seen since June of 2020, commodity prices just on a rip. Oh, by the way, just as a sidebar, did you happen to see the cover story on Barron's this last week?
I didn't. What did I miss?
Just a great bait. So one of the indicators that has been around forever and a day when it comes to contrary indications is what we call the magazine cover indicator. Any major financial news publication, which Barron's absolutely is, that comes out with a news headline, you just kind of want to think about doing the opposite of that. So what did they have on their headline cover this past week? All about commodities and inflation and why you should be buying them. No, don't go buy commodities here. You don't want to do that. We have likely seen peak inflation. Now, somebody's listening to this and they've seen on Wednesday the CPI data that came out and saying, but it was an acceleration of the number. Let's assume for a moment they're taking and paying close attention to sequential month over month and year over year data. And the answer is, yeah, you're right. You did. You did see an acceleration in that data point. However, we got a 0.1% deceleration in PPI for the first time. PPI leads CPI, which just increased the probability that the next CPI print next month is a deceleration. What does that mean? It just simply means that the market is now starting to experience this deceleration in the headline data points that point to disinflation or deflation. The market is pricing in the Fed screwing up. That's what's happening. Everybody that is a market participant has a confluence of data and a confluence of actions that all play off of what the Fed will or won't do in terms of liquidity. Now, are they going to pull the rug right out from underneath everybody and we just, you know, quote, crash? Probably not at this point. I mean, there's not enough happening that we see yet that would suggest a crash is imminent. But there has been a significant sea change in terms of how people view this market, or should be viewing it, I should say. You need to not buy the dips anymore. You need to start selling the rips. What do I mean by that? You're going to get counter trend rallies that take place. Now, we've been, as you know, in my notebook, and I know you've seen some of the videos that I send out to clients, and I try to give very close up videos of my day-to-day handwritten notes that go into my notebook about price, volume, and volatility of the major macro factor components that make up the market. And one of the things that we do every single day is track the largest components of technology. So think FANG, right? Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, Microsoft, Tesla, all that sort of stuff. We watch these things every single day. And when you calibrate price, volume, and volatility, it gives you, again, a range of probable movement from a low end to a high end. When something starts to signal a lower high with that calculus, it's one of two things. It's either consolidation or it's a phase change in the economic cycle. Now, it's never just one thing. You have to look at this as calibrated amongst all sorts of kinds of macro factor data points, such as interest rates, high yield spreads, what's happening with the US dollar, other global currencies, what's happening with the major indexes, stuff like that. And what we've been seeing for about the last week is each one of those individual components of the major large cap tech starting to signal not just lower highs, but lower lows, meaning the entire range of the probable movement of their price is shifting lower. Well, that's a clear signal that it's a high and rising likelihood that we are, in fact, experiencing a macro factor phase transition from one economic quadrant that was inflationary to another economic quadrant that's disinflationary and high and more probable deflationary. In other words, that whole quad four thing that we've talked about. So for us, on Thursday's market, tech rallied right at the open. Boom, shot up right to the highs. We sold everything. We sold all of our tech, said, boom, I'm out. Tech hit a level where when you did the calculus of price, volume, and volatility, you said, all right, something is shifting in here. The high and rising likelihood is that we've shifted from an economic phase transition of inflationary to deflationary. Deflationary cycles are not good for risky, high beta, high growth assets, which of course technology is. And I just made the decision, I'm done. I'm out of tech. Get me out. I'm going to look at something different. Well, what would you look at differently? You would look at the rate sensitive types of assets that are moving in inverse relationship to what happens with the yield, US 10-year treasury. So that's step one. Step one is that the NASDAQ has now flipped into a bearish signal. When any major index flips into a bearish signal, you have to take note of that. Now, does that mean you just, you know, run for the hills right away? No, you have to allow yourself to be patient because we're highly active and we saw what was going on Thursday morning with the gap up. It was a clear decision to us that we would use that strength to sell into and then wait to see what happens from there. The S&P 500 is still, as of yesterday, signaling a higher high. What does that mean? Again, price, volume, volatility, you do a multi-factor, multi-duration calculation, and you come up with some numbers. And the numbers gives you a range of probable movement from a low end to a high end. Well, the high end is signaling 4801. Well, 4801 is higher than 4797. 4797 was the previous high in the S&P 500. Okay. It's still telling me that S&P style large cap things have a possibility of seeing that 4800. Now, come Monday morning, can that shift? Of course. The numbers shift all the time. And it would appear that we probably will see a lower high. Now, if that happens, what do we do? It comes down to the exact same premise that I mentioned just a few moments ago, and that is that there has been a shift in the way that we view these markets from buying the dips into selling the rips. And when selling the rip, first step is number one, unwind high beta, high risk, high growth style kinds of investments on any strength that you get. And that'll pretty much be defined by what you see in one, the NASDAQ, and two, the Russell 2000. Russell 2000 is small cap kinds of stuff. Are you going to get some rallies in there? Yeah, probably. But you know, they're not going to be, you're probably not going to see these sustainable rallies. What you want to look for is whether or not it rallies, gets up close to what its old previous high was, and then fails. So for the NASDAQ, would it surprise us to see it rally all the way up to, say, you know, 15,400 or something like that? No. That wouldn't surprise me a bit. But if that happens, not only are we not buying into the NASDAQ, I'm going to short it. Meaning I'm going to position our portfolios in a way that when the NASDAQ drops, it goes up in terms of our portfolios. Now, not everyone can do that. I understand because one, their risk tolerance just doesn't allow for that kind of positioning. And two, other people are subject to whatever their holdings are within the world of their 401k. And very rarely do they have what we would refer to as an inverse fund. Sometimes they do, but in most cases they don't. So what do you do if you're one of those people? What do you do if you've got a 401k and you're staring down the high and rising likelihood that we are at the very, 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 very early beginning stages of a real deal, true blue bear market? You just get out of the way. So you use the strength when it comes, any rips that occur, to just simply unload, simply sell. Well, what do you do with it? Two things. If you have a gold fund, I'm a very, very big proponent right now of gold because gold does well inside a disinflationary to deflationary cycle because real rates go down. That's the key. See, everybody looks at that wrong. They look at gold as an inflation hedge. Oh, inflation's going up. We got to buy gold. No. You buy gold when real interest rates are declining. Now, right now, the U.S. 10-year treasury is in a bullish phase, right? I don't think that stays there for long. I don't think that stays there forever. Just yesterday, we had a signal of a lower high on the U.S. 10-year treasury from 1.85 to 1.81. The most recent close on the high end of the U.S. 10-year treasury is 1.78. So what I would like to see and what I anticipate to see come Monday is the high end of the U.S. 10-year treasury range, some number at or below 1.78. What does that mean? It just means that if the U.S. 10-year treasury goes up to that 1.78, 1.8% range, I'm buying more bonds. And I'm going to use that to buy more gold. Why? Because when interest rates go up on a short-term cycle, and this is, you have to view this on a kind of like climbing a mountain, right? So right now, U.S. 10-year treasury yields are climbing the left side of the mountain to the top in an up-down fashion. Well, all of a sudden, it appears, based on the data, that we've kind of reached the peak, and now you're just kind of moving yourself up and down over some rocky crags on the top of the cycle, on the top of the mountain. Eventually, that U.S. 10-year treasury yield is going to shift bearish. When that shifts bearish, you now start coming down the right-hand side of the mountain where you get these lower highs and lower lows. And those are the instances where you can build up the bond portion of your portfolio by buying when the U.S. 10-year treasury yield hits the top end of that range. Well, that's how you view gold too. Gold does well in a declining real rate environment. And so therefore, we want to increase our gold exposure when spot gold's down at about 1785 or so, which often coincides with real interest rates easily to follow. And if you just look at the interest rate minus inflation, but it's much, much easier to just look at the U.S. 10-year treasury. And if it starts tapping that 1.8 range, high and rising likelihood that you're going to see gold at the low end of that cycle too. So it gives you an opportunity to size it up. But the dollar, the U.S. dollar is bullish. And yesterday, it's pretty rare that we see this, but yesterday when you did the calculus of price volume volatility of the movement of the U.S. currency, it had about a 2.25% upside and pretty much no downside. That's pretty rare. 2% move in a currency is a lot. But what's that telling us? It's telling us that the market is viewing inflation as being over. I mean, think about it. Is inflation good for the U.S. dollar?
No,
not at all. Right. So when you do the calculus of the price volume volatility and you've got a higher upside than you do a downside, is that not the market kind of saying, hey, look, we're not really believing in this whole inflation narrative anymore. In fact, the high frequency data points are suggesting something different. We think so. And so over the last few days, what have we been doing? We've been buying U.S. dollars. That's consistent with quad four. The stuff that works in quad four, depending if it's investable or uninvestable, the stuff that works in quad four, period, is going to be things like gold, U.S. treasuries, investment grade bonds, and U.S. dollars primarily. There's a few other global currencies that can do okay inside that quad four cycle. It just depends on the movement of the dollar. Japanese yen sometimes, Swiss francs sometimes. But right now, the best currency to buy because the upside is much, much, much greater than the downside, at least as of yesterday's data, was the U.S. dollar. So what were we doing? Buying U.S. dollars. And I commented just a moment ago whether or not the quad four cycle is investable or uninvestable. What in the world does that mean? It's just looking at it from an investment perspective related to equities. Most everyone, when you ask them, are you invested? They have a tendency to automatically think stocks, right? So when you think of a quad four, whether it's investable or uninvestable from an equity perspective is whether or not volatility blows out. Now, what does that mean? Volatility as defined by the VIX, we're going to use that just as a standard volatility metric for the S&P 500. Although, you know, anyone that's listened to this for a while, every single thing that ticks has its own volatility metric. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if it's Apple. I don't care if it's Exxon. I don't care if it's corn. I don't care if it's short-term treasuries. I don't care if it's long-term treasuries. The NASDAQ, S&P, Russell 2000, they all have their own volatility metric. And it ticks moment by moment. As volatility shifts, price shifts, and they work inverse to one another. So when volatility starts to blow out to the upside, the question becomes, is it a blowout that becomes just an episode and it recedes? Or is it a blowout where all of a sudden the trend shifts? Now, right now, VIX, volatility for the S&P 500, is still in a bearish trend. Well, that's good. Bearish trend VIX means bullish trend S&P 500. That's not true for the NASDAQ. NASDAQ volatility is shifting. And as that shifts, you get a shift in the index in terms of it being bullish or bearish. And as of yesterday, as I said, we've got actually as of Wednesday, Thursday, we had a flip in the NASDAQ component from bullish to bearish. Just means I'm not buying NASDAQ stuff. And if it maintains its bearish signal because volatility won't break down.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Then that's when we're going to short the index for the NASDAQ. And we're going to do the same thing for small caps because, well, small caps just do terrible inside of quad four. That's number one. But number two, we're just not seeing the small cap volatility metric break down. It's just not wanting to get back in line. Volatility for the S&P 500 for the VIX is a little bit different, right? So right now it's still signaling bearish trend for the VIX, which is bullish trend for the S&P 500. If volatility in the S&P 500 for the VIX can maintain itself below 30, we're still in an investable quad four. Meaning you can take advantage of some dips in some asset classes that backtest better than other asset classes inside a quad four cycle. And what are those? Utilities, staples, primarily, those are the two biggest ones. But because of where we are in the interest rate cycle and that heading into just not just this quad four, but a very high and rising likelihood that that quad four gets much deeper going into quad two, deeper meaning a much stronger deceleration of GDP and CPI for the Q2 data signals that come in comparative to the previous year. If that VIX signal can keep itself below 30, maybe it jumps around between 20 and 30. All right, whatever, that's fine. That gives you the opportunity to buy some of the dips in stuff that works inside quad four equity space. And primarily, it's, as I said, utilities and staples. People have to turn on the heat and the air. People have to eat and drink. Right? Those are the two main components of things that tend to do okay inside an investable quad four cycle. The other two things that likely will do okay inside this quad four cycle because of where we are with interest rates and the high and rising likelihood that we've probably seen interest rates top out at least in the near term. Again, whenever I see a signal that continues to march itself higher, 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 and all of a sudden, boom, drops. You go from 1.85% on the U.S. 10-year Treasury high end to 1.81 on the high end. That's a pretty significant drop. Now, it'll be a much more significant signal if it drops below 1.78, which was the previous closing high of the U.S. 10-year Treasury. And so far, we don't have that, but we certainly might see it come Monday. That would be a much, much more significant indicator that, yeah, interest rates are likely done in their, quote, bullish phase. And if they move into bearish phase, then every time that Treasury taps the top end of the range, you're buying more Treasuries, you're buying more investment-grade bonds, you're building the fixed income side of the portfolio to help protect against a deeper quad four where interest rates just collapse. And we're not seeing that yet, as I said. So the other two things that can do well inside an investable quad four because of where we view the interest rate cycle is in fact going to be housing and real estate. Hmm. So four things basically, right? Utilities, staples, housing, real estate. Those are the four primary equity macro factors that inside an investable quad four works. Now, what's an uninvestable quad four? I know we're probably getting a little long in the tooth for this.
Yeah, we're going to have to get to the uninvestable. We'll have to do that on the other side of the break. A fascinating week, a great conversation we've had so far with Chris. A lot going on, a lot of great stuff to digest as well. Great opportunity as well as we're talking with Chris this morning to pick up the phone, give him a call. I've been listening to the program going, you know what? I really like what Chris is saying. I like the analysis that's going on. Chris, I'd love to talk with you. Love to talk to you a little bit more about how they operate at Capstone Wealth Management. All you do is pick the phone, give him a call, 866-596-9886. Chris would love to talk with you again. His number, 866-596-9886. You can email info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. And the website is Care for My Wealth. And that telephone number, 866-596-9886. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. We will do that next as Care for My Wealth continues right here, Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth here, Fox Sports 1070 The Game, hanging out with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. The telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886 to talk with Chris. You can also email him, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. And the website, it is careformywealth.com. Great resource to learn more about Chris and the team at Capstone Wealth Management. Again, the website, careformywealth.com. We talked about places you want to be as we kind of look at where we are in the markets. And then you mentioned the places you don't want to be, the uninvestable places. Let's talk about some of those sectors and some of those things you should be looking out for right now.
Yeah. So when you're thinking of an uninvestable quad four, it's important to understand what the definition of that is. Now, again, as you know, Sean, I'm not a hard number guy, meaning, well, if this particular number always happens, then you always do the following. The range of motion of volatility, in other words, the volatility of volatility shifts all the time. And sometimes it shifts itself in a range higher, higher, higher. And sometimes it shifts itself in a range lower, lower, lower. Just depends on the movement of how market participants, market makers, dealers, all the big types of players in the options market are shifting their book, right? And so there are piles and piles and piles of things to consider and that go into the kinds of modeling systems that we use to help us understand. So when you hear me use a number, just know that I'm using that as a rule of thumb because we're on the radio for an hour a week. It's a fairly short period, and I want to try and give people a good guide on how to get through the woods, right? The range of numbers that you hear me talk about are just that. Please know that the range of numbers can shift. And as those range of numbers shift, it makes the edges fuzzy. The edges of price, the edges of volatility, the edges of all sorts of things. But if you can get the big macro factors right, you can protect yourself from a debilitating bear market. We got to remember, there are a lot of people who are investing today that have never seen a bear market before. They don't know what it really, really, really looks like. People say, well, yeah, but 2020 was terrible. Yeah, that was a bear market, but that wasn't the kind of bear market that can really, really, really rip your face off for 2 years straight, right? I mean, think back to what people had to deal with in the midst of the 2000 tech bubble collapse. Oh, I mean, that was 2 years from peak to trough. 2 years. People forget that. People forget how damaging the financial crisis was and what that really looked like. So the idea behind understanding what volatility can do inside of an economic slowdown at a time where the people who are the key holders to the kingdom, i.e. the Federal Reserve, are likely tightening monetary policy through raising rates. That is a combination that is deadly to an equity investor. And so when I'm talking about an uninvestable quad four, I'm talking about a moment in time where the volatility metric, the vol of vol, explodes. Here's that non-hard number, this range, this perspective, this guide to try and help you keep a sensibility about what's going on around you. It blows out above that 30 level and then stays there for longer than 3 days. It's a pretty high and rising likelihood that, in fact, that shift is causing a movement in the volatility metric from VIX bearish to VIX bullish. VIX bullish will, in every instance, end up with some type of a bearish trend in the S&P 500. Now, we already have bearish trend in the NASDAQ, and we already have bearish trend for the Russell 2000. We've had bearish trend for the Russell 2000 for a while now. In fact, if I go back and I look at my handy dandy notebook, we've been in bearish trend for the Russell 2000 now for about a week. We've been in it for NASDAQ for 2 days. Okay. S&P 500 is still bullish, but you can see the trend, right? First of all, you start to see all the subcomponents of major tech go bearish, 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 bearish. Boom. The NASDAQ itself goes bearish. If you looked at all the subcomponents of the small cap index, you would have seen the same thing. Lots of bearish action, bearish activity, declining ranges of probable movement, volatility starting to spike, and then boom, the index goes bearish. So we've not seen that yet in the S&P 500, but wouldn't surprise me a bit at some point in time over the next, you know, near term, we end up seeing the S&P go bearish too. Now, here's the deal with any kind of a bearish moment or bearish move. You're going to get counter trend rallies and they're going to be violent. Like, you're going to get a 2, 3, 4, 5% up day and everyone will go, yeah, hallelujah. Told you it wasn't a bear market. Just at the time the institutions are sucking in the retail, selling them all their stuff, and wham, left hook.
Right? Is that the reflex rally you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, great point. You get these reflex rallies that occur inside of a bearish trend, right? And it's all a function of volatility. Now, could volatility break down? Yeah, absolutely. Hey, guess what? Welcome to the market in my life, which is surrounded by uncertainty. You have to embrace uncertainty when it comes to dealing in any kind of a risk market. Now, we're not looking to get every single little itty bitty day by day motion correct, although we work our tails off to do that. We absolutely want to get the big macro factors right so that when that shift happens and we end up experiencing a real deal bear market, that we're out of the way. And in the same time, able to take advantage of that by shorting it, right? So we use these ranges, right? We use this example that helps you to understand, hey, you know, if you're here, you want to do the following. So that means if you see VIX bust up above 30 and it stays there, right? Now, a hot second, if it goes there for a day and comes back down, okay. Might not be anything. Might be episodic. If it goes up there and stays there for 3, 4, 5 days, that's probably a problem. Something is probably shifting. Alongside, if you see interest rates really coming down hard, yeah, that's probably a signal that volatility blowout's for real. You start seeing high yield spreads, right? The difference between a safe treasury and a high yield bond accelerate. You start to see that expand. Yeah, that's probably another signal that says you got a problem. You start to see the US dollar really get an up move in a bullish cycle. Yeah, probably another signal. See the point? It's never one thing. You have to look at a confluence of things that helps you to come to a reasonable determination of whether or not what you're experiencing is here to stay for longer than a hot New York second. So far, it would appear to us, based on the action, the motion, and movement of individual things that make up the market, that we wouldn't be surprised to see the NASDAQ rally up to about that 15,400 level and then fail. If it fails, you're going to see lower lows. And if it fails in the NASDAQ in general, you're going to start to see lower lows on all the big cap tech. Now, what's the one thing that almost everybody, their brother, all their uncles and aunts own? Big cap tech.
Yeah. Yep.
It is the most overowned trade in the history of mankind. When the side of the boat is that full, increases the probability that the boat just straight up tips over. Now, is it going to tip over today, tomorrow, next week? I don't know. But if I have a signal that's telling me the following, interest rates look like they want to come down. That's number one. Number two, the US dollar looks like it wants to go up. Alongside gold wanting to continue to go up. Alongside bearish trend in NASDAQ and most of its subcomponents. Remember, last week I talked about how over 50, how almost a record number of NASDAQ stocks that make up that index are down 50% or more for the year, like the last 12 months. That's a pretty big number. And I see the small cap index also in bearish trend. All that does is tell me that I want to start leaning towards protection, rate sensitivity, shorting stuff that is risky in nature, right? And so at the beginning of the segment, you asked, well, what do you stay away from? Stay away from anything that is high growth, high beta. What's beta? Beta of one just means it's got the risk of the S&P 500. And you can find that data anywhere on the internet. If you own a mutual fund, type in the fund's symbol and then beta and boom, it'll pop up somewhere. Look on Morningstar. There's a free service out there called Koyfin, K-O-Y-F-I-N. Gives you all sorts of data points that you can look into if you want to geek out on this stuff. If you want to be like me, yes. I don't know if I'd suggest that, but anyway, you can look there, right? If you have an asset class that's beta greater than one, I wouldn't own it inside of an uninvestable quad four. And I'd be very careful owning it inside an investable quad four. You want the stuff that's under one beta. And you're going to find that in utilities and you're going to find that in staples because they're boring, right? Single digit margins for most of the kind of grocery store, retailer kind of things. Great. Low beta, boring, rate sensitive kind of asset classes. That's the place that in an investable quad four sub 30 kind of VIX number, that's okay to be. Above 30, equity players just get mauled, right? And so if we blow up above 30 on VIX and we stay there, and again, I'm using that 30 just as a range of something to help the average listener, kind of get a glimpse into it. Now, yesterday, the range of bearish trend VIX, we're still bearish. We haven't broken up the bullish yet. Bearish trend, VIX was 16 to 23. What does that mean? Just means it wouldn't have surprised me a bit to hit 23 VIX yesterday. No more would it have surprised me to see it hit 16. It can go anywhere, either way, right? But it's a higher low on that VIX, and it's a higher high in terms of what we've seen cycle so far this week. As long as it stays below 30, you're in that investable type of an opportunity. It'd be, 20 to 30 VIX, it's choppy. It's going to blow people up. It's going to chop up and down. And the things that tend to do better inside of that bad market cycle, as I said, are things like utilities. Like, for example, on Thursday, the market got smoked, right? But yet utilities on the day were up like 0.5%. Same thing with staples. The market got smoked on Thursday, but yet staples were up like, 20 basis points. Oh, okay. Good news. Housing. Again, market got smoked on Thursday. And, yet at the same time, housing was up about 1%. So these things backtest. Now, is the backtest 100% accurate all the time, every single day, no matter what the market does? No, of course not. That's not how that works. We're looking at this over a trend cycle, 3 months or more, right? Mm-hmm. Trade cycle, 3 weeks or less, just gives you an opportunity to view what the machine is doing. Where is the machine headed and why are they doing it? Now, yesterday, housing was down on the day and it got clocked, like 1.9%, but there wasn't any volume in it either. So what does that mean? It just means that nobody was actively just trying to unload this stuff. It was more along the lines we would view it as saying not a lot of buyers. And so you had this this selling pressure, right? Now, there's always a buyer and a seller, right? But there weren't enough people to say, yeah, I'm willing to buy it at that level, right? And so you had a little bit more selling pressure than you did buying pressure, but it wasn't like amazing. But on Thursday, when housing was up over 1%, volume was strong. meaning you had a lot of people saying, that's what I want. I want that because that's a defensive asset class inside an investable quad four. It's how the machine works. You got to understand the machine and its movements, and it's never just one thing. It's a confluence of things. And all I'm saying is that based on what we're seeing right now with a confluence of the data points that are coming together, not just in a high frequency space on a day by day, week by week basis, but also on a larger space such as CPI, PPI, industrial production, retail sales, all these kinds of headline data points are pointing towards that deceleration in the inflationary data points that we anticipated. Now, can it shift? Yes, it can shift. But so far, it's telling us that that's what we've got, which is pushing us into this quad four cycle. Now, what's really thrusting the market into that quad four cycle that would thrust it deeper is if the market looks at the Fed and says, you're full of crap. We don't believe you. You have no credibility. We don't think that you're going to do anything because we're going to smoke this market and you're going to reverse your thought of raising rates into an economic slowdown. Now, I don't know that the Fed is going to do that or not because they have been tone deaf again and again and again and again. And in every major economic cycle where you've gotten smoked on the U.S. equity side, it's when the Fed's been tone deaf and didn't listen and raised rates into an economic cycle slowdown. That's when it happens. That's what we've got right now. And if you listen to the Fed, if you listen to this last week, you had a questioning hearing for Jay Powell. You had a questioning hearing for Lyle Brainard. All right. These are the two top people at the Fed. And if you listen to what they had to say, they were simply giving themselves and Congress cover for the inflation narrative. Yes, inflation is the most important thing of our time right now, and we have to fight it. Hey, McFly, guess what? We probably topped out on inflation. Just look at what's going on with interest rates, the U.S. dollar, the commodities market. Yeah, I know inflation has gone up for oil. I get it. 84.90 is the current cycle peak for oil. What do I think? I think it hits that and probably reverses. I could be wrong. Who knows? When it hits it, what am I going to do? I'm probably going to short oil. One thing at a time, one day at a time. But the Fed is telling us we are not going to get off of our high horse of raising interest rates until the U.S. equity market gets smoked. And what I mean smoked, I'm talking like 10% or more. That's where it's at. All right. That's where my mind is at. And guess what? If a month from now I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That happens in markets. But based on all the data, high frequency, day by day, week by week, month over month, headline stuff, it's telling us that we are now in a position where we don't want to buy the dips in things that are non-quad four cyclic, right? Non-quad four friendly. And we want to sell the rips and the high growth stuff.
Great advice. Great stuff this week. As always, he is Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. You can learn more about Chris and the team online, the website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Today is the day to pick up the phone. Give Chris a call. The telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. You can also email Chris info at careformywealth.com. That's info at careformywealth.com. But again, even better, just pick up the phone, give him a call. Telephone number 866-596-9886. Chris, it's always fantastic hanging out. You enjoy the weekend and we'll talk real soon.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
This is Care for My Wealth here, Fox Sports 1070, The Game.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.